Bringing Up Boys is a book by James Dobson I read because I have a son and I wanted to know how to bring up a boy. And there was a chapter in that book about homosexuality. While James Dobson, in the context, was not talking about how to witness to a homosexual, I learned something from that book about how to witness to somebody who is gay. James Dobson said, we have to understand that somebody who is living a homosexual lifestyle most likely through childhood suppressed their emotions and feelings. They stuffed, and in the meantime, they heard gay people mocked, they heard them teased. And the one thing that they really wanted to do, express themselves as how they were really feeling, was made to feel like the most icky and dirty thing imaginable. Now, at whatever point in their life, they finally decide to come out of the closet. It is a traumatic experience for them, and now they get to express themselves and do all of the things that their emotions demand that they do. It feels wonderful. Now imagine this. You come along and say, hey, that homosexual lifestyle you're living, it's going to send you to hell. If you don't appreciate that fully, imagine this. Do you have children? Imagine if I came along to you and said, hey, your children, if you keep those kids, you're going to go to hell because of it. You'd be a little turned off by me. And I think that we need to have that same understanding and sensitivity when we witness to a homosexual. It is their center. It is their core. It is the love of their life. And to come along and say that thing that you adore and love so much, even though it's fleshly, carnal, and sinful and wrong, to say that to them is really going to turn them off. And I've had experience after experience. My encouragement is, do not talk about homosexuality with a homosexual. You've got 10 cannons, blast away with those, and homosexuality will take care of itself. You're going to hear an encounter that I had with two lesbian women. The first part of it, I hope, will help you understand how passionate they are about their homosexual lifestyles and how hard it is for them to hear Christians say it is a sin. Then you will hear me witnessing to them without ever talking about homosexuality. This is my encounter, two lesbians. All right, are you from Europe?
No.
Okay, why are you holding hands?
Because she's my girlfriend.
Okay, so you're lesbians.
Yeah.
I want to have two conversations with you right now, all right?
Okay.
I don't want to have a religious conversation right now. We're a religious radio station, but that's not what I want to talk about.
Okay.
I have been inviting a lesbian or a homosexual to come to the radio station to talk to me on the radio, but nobody has said yes. The reason that I want to talk to a lesbian or a homosexual is I know that you tend to think that we conservative Christians are really hateful and horrible and judgmental and intolerant, okay?
A little bit.
And I'm probably not going to change my belief that homosexuality is wrong. But what I do want to make sure that we all hear and that we all understand is who you are and why you feel the way that you do. So at least when we talk about the issue, we can think about you and not say something that would be unnecessarily offensive. Is that fair?
Yeah.
All right. So here's what I would like to ask you some questions, because most people who are listening right now probably don't know a homosexual well. All right? So, why are you gay? You got to talk right into the microphone, okay?
Because in the womb I was genetically made that way.
Okay, so you believe that it was genetic. Same thing?
Yeah,
same thing.
I completely
agree. Uh-huh. And so how long did you, when did you discover that this was the way you were made?
About 3 years old.
3 years old. Did you know it at a very young age?
Well, I knew, but I didn't accept it myself. I didn't accept it myself until I was much older.
All right. And so when did you start acting on those emotions?
24.
When you were 24 years old. So for 21 years, you stuffed it.
Pretty
Is
much.
That right?
Yeah.
How did you feel during those 21 years?
Pretty trapped.
Describe it for us.
Not allowed to be who I was. Not allowed to dress the way I wanted to, have hair I wanted to. Felt like I had to please people.
Okay.
Mainly my parents.
Yep.
Family.
Did you get judged a lot?
Not anymore, no.
No, back then.
Pretty much, yeah. People didn't understand.
Yeah. Were you out about it for your teen years?
No.
Or were you trying to pretend to hide it?
But people know.
But they knew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did the church? How did they react to you?
They were great. I'm Methodist, and they accepted me 100%.
Okay, so that was fine there.
Yep.
Did you try to date boys?
Yep.
And how did that go?
Didn't like it.
At all?
Nope.
But you tried?
Tried.
Yeah. All right, how was your relationship with your parents? Good, bad?
Oh, awesome. Wonderful.
So you had great parents.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So did you, during the course of this 21 years, if you had to describe what was going, like how, I don't know, uptight or anxious or constricted or you were feeling? Describe it for us.
I was personally filled with rage.
Rage.
I was very angry because I couldn't tell anybody because people didn't understand. When they heard, you know, I'm gay, it was, yeah, it's a phase. No, it's not. You know, it's not a phase because I'm 26 years old and I'm still with women.
Okay.
You know, so, and my parents didn't understand, but now they completely understand and they accept me for who I am.
Okay.
But I was very filled with rage. I acted out quite a bit.
Who were you angry at?
Probably the world for not understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And myself for not being able to express it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Because at 15, 16, because I was out in my teen years, you can't explain it. You don't know how to explain it, you know. They brush it under the carpet. It's not a big deal.
Right.
But it was a big deal.
Did you also feel, have any emotions like, however I got to be this way, I am not normal, or this is causing me so much grief, I'm not the way that I should be? Those emotions going on also?
I was crabby at God for a long time.
Crabby at God for a long time?
Well, yeah, I didn't understand if it was socially wrong, then why does he make people like this?
Okay.
You know?
All right.
All right.
Rage, would that be the word that would describe?
No, I never had rage towards God. I was just crabby at him.
Just crabby. All right. So when you finally decided to start acting on your feelings, you went from what emotion to what emotion?
Rage to pure happiness, I would have to say.
Relief.
How big
exhale.
Is this?
Huge.
We need to understand
with
this.
With these signs at how much you just hurt us.
What signs?
With the sign here, petitions for marriage. One
oh,
man,
got
one
it.
Woman.
Okay.
I love her.
Why?
Well, because who are you to say that I can't marry this woman? What is it? Any business
of
yours?
Let's just go back a second.
Okay.
Moving from feeling rage into feeling pure joy. Spend some time telling us about that.
I could breathe, personally. I went from feeling like I was stuck in a box, that I could not breathe, I could not move, I could not get out, to being able to breathe, being able to run. It would be like being locked in a room for years and years on end, and then finally being able to see the sunshine.
Okay.
It was amazing.
Let's try another analogy. Create one, or I'll give one, and you tell me if it even comes close to hitting the mark. You are driving along on a slippery road, and you are heading for a cliff, but all of a sudden, the brakes catch, and you don't go over the cliff.
Yep.
That big?
That big.
Bigger?
Bigger.
How much bigger?
Like,
rebirth.
Realizing that you are inches, millimeters from that cliff, and getting out and being able to step on solid ground and walk and breathe.
All right. Let's try this analogy. You've been living in Bangladesh, India. You've been starving to death. And somebody walks up to you and says, here's a check for $10 million. Enjoy the rest of your life. Close?
Bigger.
Bigger than that?
Bigger.
How much bigger?
It's like for those who didn't have God in their life, finding God.
All right. Thank
it's
you.
That
okay,
big.
Good. Is there anything else that... Because I want to segue our conversation now from understanding you into the realm of the spiritual. But is there anything that you would like to say about this to a group of conservative Christians so that we can understand your emotions and how you feel?
I think that you guys should be careful judging others, because I don't think God appreciates that. I think that you're just being as prejudiced as the next person, and I think he looks down on you on that. You're supposed to love everyone and accept all, and you don't. You're picking and choosing what you want to do, and I think that's wrong.
Okay. Anything you'd like to say?
I guess for me is if you're teaching your children to accept some, but it's not accept others, doesn't that make you a bigot?
Okay. All right. Anything else that you'd like to say?
Mm-mm.
All right. I wanted to hear that because I understand that this is such a volatile topic, and I don't think most people understand that homosexuals have been living a life that has been filled with rage or confinement, and so all of a sudden they find the thing that makes them the most happy in the entire world, and we come along and go, that's the thing that's sending you to hell.
Yeah.
And it's very painful, right?
Very much.
Okay. Good. Now, can we segue our conversation from this into the realm of the spiritual? You say that you're Methodist. Do you go to church?
No.
No, but you're Methodist?
Yep.
Okay. How do you deal with the verses in the Bible that seem to be very clear in condemning homosexual behavior?
Well, the Bible was written a long time ago. There wasn't a lot of knowledge back then. And I think that if you read between the lines, and pretty much kind of contradicts itself too, because in a part it says it's okay, and in a part it doesn't. So,
all right,
I'll take it for the words. It is.
Can I read a verse to you, and I want you to explain to me how you interpret it? Is that fair?
Sure.
All right, you're going to have to trust that I do not have the anti-homosexual Bible that's just loaded with anti-gay verses, and that I'm just reading to you out of the same old Bible, except it's got the. This is a translation that's pretty easy to understand. All right, this is Romans chapter 1. Have you heard these verses yet? Okay. This is what the Bible says. God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relationships with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men and as a result suffered within themselves the penalty they so richly deserved. When they refused to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their evil minds and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, fighting, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. Okay, what do you do with verses that seem to be so clear on the topic?
Go ahead.
Well,
go ahead.
Personally, what you just read...
You've got to talk in here because we can't hear you.
What you just read said they refused to acknowledge him. I can acknowledge God until I'm blue in the face and believe in God wholeheartedly. It doesn't say they acknowledged him but were lesbians and it was still bad. No, it says they refused to acknowledge him, so he left them.
Okay.
So if I'm acknowledging him and I'm accepting God into my life, then quite frankly, that's not telling me what I'm doing is wrong.
All right. Let me read it. Then let me.
That's my girlfriend.
Let me read another verse to you, and you tell me how you deal with this verse, all right? This is from 1 Corinthians. It's a book that the Apostle Paul wrote to a group of people who lived in a church called Corinth, in a city called Corinth. And this is what he wrote, all right? And we consider this to be the inspired word of God. It says, "Don't you know that those who do wrong will have no share in the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sins, who are idol worshippers, adulterers, male prostitutes, homosexuals, thieves, greedy people, drunkards, abusers, and swindlers, none of these will have their share in the kingdom of God." Deal with that one.
A lot of drunk straight people.
All right, but they won't have their share in the kingdom of God either.
I don't believe that. I don't. You know why? Because I'm a good person. I love my family. I love my friends. I don't do wrong. I do unto others.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm good to go. And if I don't get to go to heaven, then I get to go someplace so much funner with a lot of lesbians and a lot of gay people.
All right.
So,
now,
you know,
I want to talk on the spiritual realm for just a moment. And I don't want to talk about homosexuality at all. All right?
Okay.
I want that to now be off the table. We're
okay.
Not talking about homosexuality. You said that you're a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah, I'm sure you have too.
You're right. If you've told a lie, what type of person does that make you?
A liar!
A liar, yeah.
All right. Have you ever...
I don't think you can go through life without telling lies. I don't tell malicious lies that hurt people,
okay.
But I say, no, I didn't get you a Christmas present, or no, I didn't get you
okay,
that.
Have you ever stolen anything?
Yeah, when I was 7, I stole the candy bar, and that was it.
Okay. Yeah. Have you ever called somebody an idiot or a moron?
Sure.
Okay. You know that Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit murder. But I say to you, if you call somebody a fool, you've committed murder in your heart. Fair enough? All right. Have you ever blasphemed the name of the Lord, taken the Lord's name and used it as a curse?
Yep.
All right. That's called blasphemy. Have you ever dishonored your parents, not done what you were told, did something that made them angry?
I would like you to find one person at the state fair that hasn't.
Well, you quoted
straight or gay.
You're right.
You know,
we're not talking
people.
About sex, though. We're not
okay.
talking about sex. This isn't a you or they, okay?
All right.
All right. Now, the reason that I brought that up is I just shared 4 or 5 commandments with you. You know the Bible teaches there's a day of judgment. Appointed to everybody, you die once, and then you get judged. If God judges you based on the standard of the 10 commandments, not homosexuality, the 10 commandments,
mm-hmm.
will you be innocent or guilty before God?
Well, that depends. Don't I get to atone for my sins?
How are you going to do that?
I don't get to be forgiven. I don't get to go and say, this was my sin, this is what I did, I'm very sorry, and atone for them?
Well, if we try that in a court of law on this earth, you get pulled before the judge. The judge finds you guilty, and you say, judge, I'd like to confess, and I'd like to ask for forgiveness. The judge will say, you should be sorry, but I'm a just judge, and I must punish you, correct?
Right, that judge may do that, but that family that I've sinned against may forgive me, and in my heart, I'm okay then.
But justice will still need to be served, correct?
Correct.
Same thing with God, who is the just judge of all the world, who will judge all people according to what they have done.
Mm-hmm.
And he will pour out his anger and his wrath on everybody who refuses to repent, who practices evil deeds and lives for themselves. There'll be trouble and calamity on that day.
Mm-hmm.
If he judges you based on his standard of the Ten Commandments, perfection, will you be innocent or guilty before God?
Guilty.
I'll be guilty.
Will you be going to heaven or hell if you are guilty before God?
I believe God forgives.
I would think heaven.
Why do you think heaven?
Because I don't think we have a cruel God like that, and then there would be no one in heaven.
Well, nobody deserves to go, but it's not cruelty. It's called just. Being just. A good judge sentences people, right?
I don't think God is a judge.
Well, you know what? Actually,
I don't. You know, no.
Well, actually, he is.
Not, well, God being a judge, as in a judge at Hennepin County, and God being a judge, are two different things because God's also a father.
But let me tell you though, even if your father were a judge,
mm-hmm.
and he was sitting on the bench and you got pulled in in front of him,
mm-hmm.
you're my daughter and I love you, but I'm a judge. And justice must be satisfied, and I've got to do my job. I'm upheld by the law to keep it.
I just see them two different ways, personally.
But you know what you need to know is, Romans 2, God is a just judge of all the world, and he's going to judge everybody.
Mm-hmm.
This has nothing to do with being a lesbian. It has everything to do with sin.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to judge people, and every secret sin done in darkness will be brought into the light. Every thought, every word, every deed, every action, he will know about it, and he will judge you based on his standard of perfection. And if he finds you guilty, should not a just judge send lawbreakers to hell?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, if it's going to be black and white like that, yeah.
Oh, he's so black and white.
How do you know? Have you met him?
Oh, but his word says it so clearly. If you just think an angry thought, he sees it as murder. Man, I would have never thought of that. I'd think you'd have to cut somebody's head off.
But
he says just get angry and you've committed murder in his eyes.
So I could be a very just, I could be a perfect person. I could never commit any of these sins, but because I'm a homosexual, I'm going to hell anyhow.
But have you committed those other sins? I haven't talked about homosexuality.
No, but
I've talked about lying.
As far as in the
and
Bible
I've talked
goes.
About stealing and blaspheming his name and coveting and dishonoring our parents.
Right, and I'm saying as long as I don't do any of those things.
Have you done them,
it
though?
It wouldn't matter.
Have you done it,
well,
though?
Yeah.
Then you're
I
in
have.
Trouble right now. Then it makes no difference then. You're in big trouble right now because the Bible says you'll be just in righteousness, his standard of perfection. And if he finds you guilty, he promises to send lawbreakers to hell. Okay?
You're going to be disappointed when you get to heaven, I think, because you're going to see a lot of people you don't want up there.
Okay, that's not true. I want to see you in heaven is what I want to see. Okay?
Well,
now this, you know
how
what?
Do you go to sleep at night being so crabby?
I'm not crabby. I'm not crabby. I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches. This has nothing to do with being crabby.
But then my question to anybody else would be, is as a child, did you not lie?
Of course I did.
Okay, so then aren't you in trouble? Or?
No, because I know something that maybe you don't.
Okay.
Okay, I know how to get saved. Okay?
All right? But being the good Christian you are, you're not going to tell anybody. Right?
Well,
keep it to yourself.
Well,
only Christians
listen,
up in heaven.
Listen, this is important. I'm not trying to be a jerk. You know what? I've
got
a family.
You're just being prejudiced.
No, listen.
Yeah.
I haven't talked about homosexuality, okay? That's on your brain, not mine. I have a family at home I would like to be with today. Okay, it's Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm out here because I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to have a miserable life. I don't want you to go to hell for being a liar and a thief and a blasphemer and for being covetous. I don't want you to go to hell. All right? That's all I'm saying. So you just need to know what the Bible says. Reject it if you will, but just know what it says. That's all I'm trying to bring to your attention. It says that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. God says if you blaspheme his holy name, he won't forget it. He won't forget it. He's angry about sin. All right? And if he judges you when you die and finds you guilty, he promises to send you to hell. I just want to warn you about that. That's all I want to do. I don't want to wreck your life. I want you to be saved. Does it concern you that the Bible teaches that if you're guilty before him, he's going to send you to hell? Does that concern you at all?
No.
It should.
Well, what are you going to do?
Oh.
Yeah, I can't do... I lied when I was 3, little kid. What are you going to do from that far ago?
All right.
Turn Christian and put on a hobbit and...
No.
Ask Sam sorry?
Yeah.
Is that your trick?
Yeah.
That's your secret?
Yeah,
to
basically.
Apologize?
Yeah. That's it. Makes sense, doesn't it?
But that's kind of what I just said.
Yeah. Okay. But there's more. There's
so
more to it than that. Yeah, but there's more to it. You're right. So I kind of trip you up on a technicality. Let me tell you what it is. God says that He wants everybody to repent, and it doesn't just mean saying you're sorry. It means first of all recognizing that you have sinned against Him. Mm-hmm. All right. And He says, I want you to stop. I want you to apologize, and I want you to forsake your sins.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to live for Me instead of for yourself.
Yep.
And there's more to it than that. It's not just about repenting. It's also about putting your trust in Jesus Christ. All right? Because if you say you're sorry to the judge, it doesn't matter. Right? You can be standing before the judge guilty, saying, I'm sorry, and he's going to say, I don't care how sorry you are, I still have to sentence you. Justice must be satisfied. Now, if somebody walked into the courtroom and said, I'll take the punishment. Send me away. I'll pay the fine. I'll take the justice, the judgment. I'll do it for you. The judge would say, fine, you're free to go because that person has paid your fine. Right? Right? Because justice doesn't go away. It has to be satisfied.
Right.
All right? Now, that brings us to Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, God Himself, came to this earth to take your place. The Bible teaches there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. God Himself shed His blood to forgive you of your sins. You broke God's law. Jesus Christ paid your fine. He did the most loving, kind thing that anybody will ever do for you, including you for each other. God Himself died to save you. And now He says, I command you to repent and put your trust in Me as if your life depends on it, because it does. On the day of judgment, if your sins are not forgiven, He will punish you. But if you humble yourself, repent, and put your trust in Him, He says, I will save you. I will move you from darkness to light. I will move you from being a child of wrath to being a child of God. I will give you a new heart with new desires. And I will move you from death to life. And you'll inherit eternal life on the day of judgment, and you won't perish. And so today, right now, now you know what you must do to be made right in the eyes of God. I would ask you to examine yourself, to see where you are at in the light of God's standard of perfection. And if you recognize that He is going to find you guilty on the day of judgment, and you recognize how kind He has been in dying for you, get on your knees, confess your sins to God, put your trust in Him, and He says He will save you. Humble yourself, and He will exalt you. Okay? That's all I want to share with you today. Is that reasonable?
Yep. Very all
right.
reasonable.
Great. I thank you very much. Would you like to say anything or talk about anything?
No, I'm good.
Look, I'm going to give you this.
Oh, no.
No, it's okay. You know what? It doesn't have anything in here about homosexuality.
Okay.
There's nothing in here about being a lesbian. All right? All right? Thank you. I'm glad you shared with us. We learned something from you. I hope you learned something in return. Okay?
Definitely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.